إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned, he spoke about what he has made halal and what he has made haram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah has made all pure things halal and he has made all the khaba'is haram, all the impure and dirty things haram. Now this refers to things we eat, it refers to things we wear, it refers to activities that we indulge in, and so on and so forth. So whatever is halal is pure, and what it is good and it's for our benefit, and whatever is haram is impure, and if we use it, it will harm us. The halal does not benefit Allah and the haram does not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason I'm saying this is, yesterday somebody asked me a question. They said, at what age does hijab become fard? He's talking about girls. At what age does hijab become fard? So I told him, that is a wrong question. The correct question you should ask me is, at what age does haya become fard? Not hijab. At what age does haya become fard? Because if you have not enabled your child to understand the meaning of haya, then the age at which hijab becomes fard, your child will not do hijab. She will rebel and she will go against you. Because when she was a little girl, you allowed her to run around half naked. I'm sorry if this sounds crude, but that's exactly what happens. I have seen it in cases where I know the parents. I have told the parents in very strong terms. You have little girls, 2 years old, 1 year old, 3 years old, who are just wearing a frock without sleeves, and it's, just comes halfway down the thighs. So, practically she's half naked. Now, you know and I know what kind of world we live in today. The case which happened in Katwa, where this girl Asifa was gang raped and murdered over five days or 4 days or whatever, Allah knows best. One of the things which hit me when I read that whole horrible episode is that an uncle and a nephew, that's a father and son relationship, an uncle and a nephew actually had a conversation about raping and murdering a child. No? I mean, this was conversation. Now, what will you say if tomorrow your son tells you, then why don't we go and catch one child and rape and murder her? But this is, they are human. They are human just like you are human. But they actually had this conversation. It is okay in that family and in that culture to have such a conversation between a father and a son, between an uncle and a nephew and so on, to say, why don't we catch hold of a young girl and rape her and then murder her? This is the world. And in this world, you want to send your little child out half naked. You have no concern about how anyone is looking at the child. You have no clue what anyone is doing to that child. The majority of molestations of young girls and young boys happen in their almost practically infancy, in their, year, 2 years, 3 years old. And they happen by people they know and trust very well, including close relatives, including grandparents, including drivers, including maids, because they trust them. But our parents have zero, no clue. You send the little girl to a party, right? So, school friends, this, that, she goes to a party. What party is it? It's a birthday party, it is a this party, that party. What will happen in that party? There will be some music, there will be little kids dancing around and so on. Now, if you say anything, they say, oh, no, this is all, you know, you are so cutter and you are so extremist and so on. Chote bachche hai na, nach rahe to kya hota? It is not a question of whether these little boys and girls who are dancing, whether they are 12 inches tall or whether they are 60 inches tall. That is not the issue. The issue is, what is the value that you are inculcating and reinforcing in them? And the value you are reinforcing in them is that this behavior is fine. There is nothing wrong with this behavior. There is nothing wrong in that music, there is nothing wrong in that dancing, there is nothing wrong in dressing up like that, there is nothing wrong in that competition that happens when you go to these parties between, you know, what clothes you are wearing, what clothes I am wearing. All of this you are saying, this is perfectly fine. Then suddenly one fine day you will wake up when that child now is 12 years old, 13 years old, 15 years old, and you will say, no, you have to wear a hijab and you can't dress like this and you must wear a burqa. And you must do this, and you can't talk to this boy, and you can't, the boy can't talk to the girl, and you should not go, music is haram. I mean, so music suddenly became haram today. I mean, you had wahi last night? Is that what happened? Jibreel Islam came to you last night and told you it is haram? So all these years, 10 years of my life, music was not haram. 10 years of my life, it was fine to go to parties and dance and so on and so forth and to wear all kinds of clothes. Now suddenly, who is responsible? Why do parents do this? Because they themselves are uncomfortable with the Sharia of Islam. That is the reality. The reality is you have no confidence in your own deen. Number one, you have no confidence in your own deen. You yourself don't understand what is right and what is wrong. You want to run with the hare and hunt with the hounds. So you want to look good among all your nice and nice cool friends and so on and so forth. Because if you say, I won't send my child to the party, your friend will say, Are kya dakhyanus ho gaye, falane ho gaye. You have become so old-fashioned and you have become too religious and so on. So you don't want to ask. You want to be nice with them. And at the same time, you want to be nice on the other side. Doesn't work like this. You have to choose. You either choose obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or you choose the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go ahead and do it, no problem. It doesn't make any difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's, as I always say, there's no real estate shortage in Jannah or Jahannam. Right? Nobody's going to say, no, Jahannam is full, please now we go to Jannah because we can't accommodate anybody. No, there's plenty of space in both places. Your call, my call. So you want to be cool with those friends and you also want to be cool with the other people. Just think about this. If you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you izzah. Ask one simple question. All of these nice, cool friends of yours, right? Who are okay with the dancing and music and parties and God knows what, right? Ask them, when they fall ill, when one of them suddenly discovers he's got cancer, who does he go to for dua? Does he come to you? Does he go to another one of his cool friends and say, while you are dancing, please make dua also for me? Does he do that? Or does he go to the Maulvi or he goes to the Maulana who he bad talked all his life, who he looked down upon all his life, and then he will come and say, Hazrat Zara, mere waste dua kariye. Sheikh, please make dua for me. Galle mein phansi padi to jab Allah yaad aata. Suddenly you have a loss, you have some accident, somebody dies, then you come. Who do you ask to lead the Salatul Janaza? The same person that you bad talked all your life, the same person you looked down upon all your life. Why don't you ask one of your cool friends to lead Salatul Janaza for your mother, your father, your grandfather or, you know, whoever? Why do that? If they are so cool, you like them so much and you respect them so much, call them. Tell them to lead Salatul Janaza. He will do one tandav there because he does not know what is Salatul Janaza in any way. You don't do that. You go. This is hypocrisy. This is nifaq. This is hypocrisy. People like this in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam were called munafiqeen. The only reason you are not called munafiqin is because you are living in this time. That's all. Otherwise, the nifaq is the same. So, conditioning your children to have haya, it starts from the day they start breathing. It's not nothing to do with age. Because if you do it right, from the beginning, I'm not saying put a niqab on that girl. No, not necessary. But understand proper clothing. including hijab, make it initially when the child is young, it's you know, they just imitate the mother and so on and so forth. You wear hijab, she will also wear hijab, she'll have fun. In the middle of that, she'll feel hot, she'll pull it off, it's okay. Then she wants to put it back on, let her put it back on. She gets used to that. That conditioning is very important. Same thing with the boys. Get them used to being respectful to girls, to their own sisters. Get them used to being useful around the house. Now we have these two streams of training. One for girls, one for boys. Boys can do whatever the hell they want. Nobody asks any questions. Girl must do this, do that. Absolute nonsense. Train them. In marriage, we say, no, the girl must adjust. Why must she adjust? The boy should also adjust. Who said the only the girl should adjust? And when will that training start? Right from day one. Because the way you condition them, when does the training to speak the truth start? When does the training to be respectful start? Do you tell your children, it's okay, you can tell lies until the age of 12. Now after puberty, don't tell lies. Do you say that? Yesterday we had one very dear friend of ours, he comes here, prays regularly here, at least two salas. He's got four sons. And the youngest one, the oldest one is probably about 15 or 16 or something, and then the four sons. The youngest one is about little over a year. So very, aap loga dekhe honge, Bashar Bhai's children. Very cute and very, very, very sweet. So he runs around here and all while the parents pray. And when I turn around and sit, he comes and sits in my lap and, you know, ask him, achche hai, bolta hai, bahut sweet hai. So yesterday, the brothers, they look after that younger brother like, you know, absolutely, they are so nice to the younger brother. He'll climb on their head while they are making sujood. I've never seen any of those boys even show the mildest irritation with the younger brother. They're very, very sweet. And they are very nice between themselves also. So I asked Bashar Bhai, can you imagine, looking at them now, can you imagine that 30 years from now, 40 years from now, they will be filing suits against each other, that they won't look at each other's faces, that they won't go to each other's houses, that they will teach their children to disrespect each other, that they will be hatred among them, that if one of them dies, the other one will not go to the janazah? Can you imagine this? Because that is what everyone who is doing all this, this is how they were when they were 2 years old. Every case that one brother has filed against another brother, flashback 40 years, and they were two little kids who were playing in the same nursery, in the same house, and they comforted each other and they played with each other and they loved each other. 40 years ahead, this happened. How? And Bashar told me a very nice thing. He said, you are absolutely right. And that is why in our house, we do not have individual toys for any of these boys. Everything is shared. We get one thing and we say, this belongs to all of you. Share it. From the beginning, this is what we have been teaching them. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve them and may Allah preserve that in their hearts. Seriously, today, how many people are filing suits? This is because of bringing. The point I'm making is this issue of togetherness. Today, if you talk to Muslims, and if you any group of Muslims, you say, please tell me, what is the single biggest problem with Muslims globally? What will they tell you? They will say, hamare aapas mein phoot hai. Anyway, aap kahin bhi chale jao, duniya mein, anywhere you go, this question, this is the answer. They will say, we are divided. What is the single biggest need? People will say, everyone must come together. Unity. Why is the division there? Because of this. From day one, actual blood-related families are divided. Where is the question of the rest of the world? Obviously, it will be divided. And it's because we do not bring this thing from the beginning. We have made this law to ourselves to say that it's okay to do some things when you are young, and later on only the prohibition comes. Please believe me, in Islam there is no such thing. There is no such thing. What is haram from day one. Is pork permissible for small children? Is alcohol permissible for small children? Should be, no? By the same logic, if running around half naked is permissible, then alcohol also should be permissible for small children. That is your logic. I mean, they not your, I mean, people who have this logic. So I remind myself and you, let us wake up and not create a problem for ourselves. Because believe me, if you bring up children like this, even after you go in your grave, that azab will come to you. Because you are the cause of this. You never trained that child right. And throughout the child became, and then the child became rebellious and God knows what happened to them. Sawabul Jariya and Azabul Jariya, both are true. So let us not create that. The children are a means of Sawabul Jariya for us. Let us make sure that they remain that. Give them good examples. Let them see a situation where the father and the mother never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never go against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any aspect. And then they will grow up right, inshallah. But if you do that, if you don't do that, if you allow this, because they are young, you allow them to do all sorts of things because you want to look cool with your cool friends, then be prepared for the day when you will be with your cool friends in a time and a place which will not be cool. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.